It's good to see you tonight. Let's start up with me tonight to Romans chapter 2 and then also John chapter 3, if you pick that up with me tonight. It was a quiet day on the campus today, on the property. All of our students were off in different excursions and so forth. And so forwarded, I think, the admin staff, especially some peace and quiet. They walked in there, they were having some Christmas music, had a Christmas scene on the screen, and just enjoying the quiet. But I know that they were still busy catching up on things and getting things done. But so just a different feeling when you're in a quiet location suddenly, and so had enjoyed that as well. Just got some study done this morning. But Romans chapter 2, and let's begin reading in verse 1. And a simple thought tonight, just probably more of a reminder. You know, when we talk to people and you ask them how they're doing, the general answer is good. And we don't really go any further than that. That's the sort of appropriate thing to say. You don't really expect to get any more detail than that. And so generally that's what we say. We say good. We'll ask, you know, if you have, what kind of Christmas are you going to have? I hope it's a good Christmas. And we generally use that word to describe something that is pleasant, or so an expectation that we hope will be pleasurable or just nice. And we understand that we live in a world that we love good things. And, you know, we desire good things. We want good things for one another. We want good things this Christmas. We go about and we want good homes and good health, good food, good friends. And we understand that the meaning of that. We understand that all of those things, when you think about it, they're all blessings, aren't they? Right? When we say there's good, the good things come to us, and that's always a blessing. But the danger is when good things become God things, they can become dangerous. And I think the Bible tells us this. Look at Romans chapter 2, and notice verse 1. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest, thou doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And then notice verse 3, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? And, you know, we sort of look at and we think about the whole concept of repentance, of a change of mind, of turning a different direction, 180 degrees, as a result of judgment, as a result of negative things. But, you know, even good things are meant to point a certain way, or point us a certain way. And, you know, sometimes when you talk to people, they tend to look at the good things of Christianity. You know, there's a little bit of a movement right now. When you look at the world that we live in, there's a lot of people who are starting to again recognize that there's good things about Christianity. You know, they'll speak about it on podcasts, and they'll share their opinion about how the world was such a better place when more people were going to church, and they recognize that Christianity, generally speaking, it's a good thing, and they'll seek that. You know, there's been some in the recent, just even in recently within our church, who they're seeking something good, and so they're coming to church, and that's a good thing. You know, they're understanding that discipline of learning truth and learning something about something that's beyond them is a good thing. And yet sometimes the motive for all of that really just rests on getting the good thing. They want the benefit of that. You know, they want to reform their life because they recognize that their life fell short somehow. And so the good thing of Christianity perhaps is the solution, and they think it's just you're just being reformed in your behavior, reformed in your outlook, or reformed in your disciplines, and all of those, adding those disciplines is enough. And we have a man who, very similar to that, sought Jesus for the good thing. Look at John chapter 3, if you haven't turned there, John chapter 3. And we're going to learn some lessons here about really the purpose of good things and three truths that we're going to learn tonight, maybe as a by way of reminder for us, because we all seek good things. And you know, even as saved people, we can fall so short of what those good things are for. You know, it's good for us to rejoice in blessings. It's good for us to recognize the things that are happening that bring goodness into our lives. And we're going to see and understand that that's from the Lord inevitably. But there's a man who sought good when he probably had it great. And what we understand, this man in verse 1, John chapter 3, a famous chapter of the Bible, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And we note that he was a ruler of the Jews. He was someone that was well known, someone that had a good life. We would look at him and we would define that he had a good life. He was good morally. He was good probably academically. He was good from a societal point of view. He probably had those that looked up to him and had some sort of status in his life. And Nicodemus generally in his life, he found good things. And yet what we find, the same came to Jesus by night. And what we find here is that Nicodemus, in all of the goodness that he already had, there was still an empty feeling and there was still something seemingly missing in his life. He still went seeking. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, meaning a good master, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And we know the story here. God, the Lord Jesus, teaches him through what it really means to be someone who believes, someone who is in faith. And he is giving him this teaching because it was a response to Nicodemus's searching. And what this tells us is what is the point of a good thing? What is the purpose of it? You see, Nicodemus, he came to Jesus by night. He was a man full of good things, a good reputation, good in religion, good intellect, but something was missing. He had morality. He had status. He had religion, but what was missing was a relationship. And Jesus didn't tell him in response to Nicodemus' seeking to do more good things. You recognize that? He didn't tell him to do more good things. He told him to be born again. Because the purpose of good things is not actually to save you, but to lead you to the one who can. And so that's the first thing I want to mention. You know, good things can't replace the new birth. You know, there's a lot of people who are seeking the morality of Christianity. A lot of people who want to be reformed in their behavior, as I mentioned. There are those that'll just come hoping that they'll learn the secret thing of having a better life. They want a good life and they recognize that the one that they have, it's not quite working. And so they're going to go. But you know, many people will pile that on and they'll just continue to seek good thing after good thing after good thing, thinking that if they're just good enough and they've gotten enough good things in their life, that somehow that's going to be enough. But the reality is, and Jesus again trying to help Nicodemus recognize where he was at, he wanted Nicodemus to understand that although he knew goodness, that goodness wasn't enough. That having good things and being in good behavior and having good morality wasn't going to replace actually a new birth. You see, Nicodemus, he kept the law. He led people. He, even as we understand it, he even respected Jesus. And there are those today who will say that Jesus is a rabbi. He's a good teacher. He's a good master. They'll even read through the scriptures and learn through and somehow present some sort of thing. And, you know, there's a well-known personality that's got a lot of podcasts on scripture, although he doesn't claim to be saved. Jordan Peterson. And Jordan Peterson is a very intelligent man. If you've ever listened through some of his musings on the scriptures, it's quite insightful, but it's so far. It's so close, yet so far. And he understands, he has a respect for Jesus, and he's grappling with good things. But good things don't replace a new birth. There's people who are good religiously, but they're just not saved. They're not new people. See, he kept the law. But something deeper in Nicodemus gnawed at him. His goodness, he understood, couldn't change his nature. You see, you can polish an apple. We've had fruits at the back over the course of this. And last week, by the way, just a quick advertisement. It's our ministry market. Or if you haven't signed up, you ought to. This last week, I hope you've been praying. That's why we're still waiting. But if you notice, the first week, there were lots of apples. That was the first week. And I noticed that when I had the teen boys come through the middle of the week, that suddenly those baskets were suddenly empty, all right? But you look at all of those, and there were some of those apples that had started to soften, but they all looked nice. They were polished, right? Rod, who looks after produce, he was kind enough to bring all of that in, and obviously he's good at his job. They all looked appealing. They had picked the right apples. And yet, what I'm saying is, you could polish an apple and it could look great, but if it's rotten on the inside, then it still spoils. And many people, they just love the good thing of religiosity. They love the good thing that surrounds Jesus, and they love the good thing that brings to their lives, but there's no new birth. There's never been a point where they were made new. You can reform habits, you can attend church, you can give generously, but unless your heart is made new, you're still rotten to the core. And the greatest deception in religion is thinking that better living equals a new life. And it just doesn't. See, Jesus doesn't come to improve the old man. He came to create a new one. We know that. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And so good things can't replace a new birth. See, good things are admirable. I'm saying they're not enough. The Bible tells us it's not enough. The moral man without Christ is as lost as the immoral man without Christ. In Ephesians 2, 1 and 2, the Bible tells us that you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's the issue. It is, as people, as much as they want good things in their lives, and they might place and heap more and more good things, the reality is they're dead in trespasses and sins. And so in time past, the Bible says, you walked according to the course of this world. Everyone's seeking good things. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And so maybe tonight, you've been in the mode, and you've seen, maybe even from a family point of view, you know, it's good. Christianity is good. The Bible is good. And we take all those. Listen, you could have it all on the inside, but unless it's real in here, and there's been a new birth, it's not going to do you a hill of beans good. And what he's teaching here is good things. They're not for they're not to save you. They're not to replace the new birth. But here's the thing. He said good things reveal, though, the goodness of God. Because later on, we know the verse in verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know, that action of giving is really one that we take for granted from God. You know, that whole idea of God gave his own son, we understand the tremendous sacrifice that is. That's the ultimate good that we need. But you understand that God himself, he's just a giver. He's always giving. God in his nature is a giver. It says in Luke 11 verse 13, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. Right, who's already started their Christmas shop? Anyone? Ladies, a few men, well done. Well done. I bet it's from a list from the missus, all right? But if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. He's using a common thing, the giving of gifts. And then he says this, how much more shall your heavenly Father give? And the example there is, it was teaching this, the Holy Spirit, to them that ask him. And so we understand that even from a point of view of being a child of God, that he gave his son, but then he gives us further gifts, gives us the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He gives us the Holy Spirit himself to indwell us, and that's a gift from God. But then generally speaking, James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good gift. So everything, you listen, the person down the road that blasphemes the name of God still receives good from the hand of God. They'll still breathe. They'll still have a beat in their heart. They'll still go about. They'll still have the capacity to earn some sort of living and better themselves. Every good gift, it's not from government. It's not from hard work. Every good gift is from the Father above. And we have a God who's a giver. And you know what good things reveal? They actually reveal the goodness of God. It's meant to point us to a certain direction of thought, a certain direction of acknowledgement. And the purpose of blessing, it's not simply comfort, because that's what we think. We think good things are just for our comfort and for our use. But actually, it's a calling. It's a calling to you. It's a calling and a reminder that we have a God who gives us good things all the time. Why? Because he himself is the ultimate good. It's not because he's kind and generous, but it's just ultimately he's good. And so the purpose of blessing is not comfort, it's calling. When God gives good things, he's not just being generous, he's being gracious. You know what he's doing? He's inviting us to see him. That's why he said in Romans chapter 2, that the goodness of God brings us to repentance. Because it's meant to point us. It's meant to remind us that we have a good God. And we have a God who, despite the fact that sometimes we don't acknowledge and we sometimes even crabbily receive some of the things that we ought to be content about, and sometimes we look at that and we go, that's not good enough. Listen, all the things in your life today, despite a channel in which someone perhaps blessed you with, ultimately it was from God. Ultimately. The good things in your life, the good things in my life, and the purpose of that is a calling. He's calling us to him. Nicodemus needed to learn that the goodness of God, it wasn't about his performance of his own goodness. It was grace. It was received by faith. It was to be a new birth. And the purpose of blessing is not comfort, it's calling. You know, every time a good thing happens to a lost person, it's meant to point them. It's meant to remind them, hey, you have a good God who didn't consume you today. But listen, that's the same for the Christian. It's not that we are now in this new status of life. Listen, we have the grace of God that saved us. And now we have that relationship with him, but actually still the good things in your life is to point you to the goodness of God. And good things reveal the goodness of God, if we're not careful, though. And here's the danger: when we turn good things into God things, if we're not careful, we'll enjoy the gift and forget the giver. Right? That's a simple thought. We've heard it before, but it's worth reminding. You know, every sunrise, every breath, every provision, it all whispers this: God so loved you. In Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. If we were just to stop at nature, and we were to stop at just, I know we've just had a storm, and maybe some of you are still reeling, all right? But if we were just to stop and recognize that that stopped, and then after that, the sun came up again, and maybe some of you looked at the beauty of the sky and the artistry of that, and you always marvel at that. You've got albums full in your phones of just sunrises and probably sunsets. Let's be real here, right? And you look at all of that. Some of you men are secret romantics. You're always looking at, like, you know, and, oh, look at the colors. You'll never say that to your wife. But I'm saying you appreciate God's majesty. And all of that is to just get you back to recognizing the gift, but more than that, the giver of the gift. In Psalm 50, verse 6, the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself, Selah. Psalm 97, verse 6, the heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. See, it's not just his majesty, it's his righteousness that the heavens declare. If we're not careful, though, we enjoy all of the good and the gifts and forget all about the giver. When good things reveal the goodness of God, but then really at the end, good things are meant to point to the greater. And that's Jesus. Right? Good things point to the greater. You know, when we look at marriage, for example, and we look at marriage, marriage is a institution that people ambition toward, and some that are married and recognize the goodness of that. The Bible even says, whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing, all right? And the Bible tells us that. So we understand that the goodness of that. And yet, what's the significance of marriage? Is it just companionship? No, listen, you look at all of that, and marriage speaks of the relationship of Jesus Christ with his church. And the goodness of marriage points to the greater. The greater is this: it's a picture of the gospel. So the things that we do, even church, you know, we assemble, we're called the called out assembly. And we're gathering tonight. And this is great. We get to come along on a Wednesday night, and we get to come along on a Sunday, and we get to fellowship with one another. We get to sing praises. We get to worship the Lord. And you know what? The good thing of church is just a picture of the greater, of the one day when we're all in heaven and we're all sitting at the feet of Jesus. It's a picture of a greater. So those things that God does that are good, they're meant to just picture a greater. They're meant to just point us to the greater thing. You know, sometimes I'll tell my kids this, and it's not original to me. I found it from somewhere else. But I'll say, hey, don't have a good day. Have a great day, right? And I just borrow that from somewhere, right? But I tell them that because I want them to understand, right? There's good, but there's greater. You know, there's greater. And in our lives, listen, sometimes we're so obsessed with the good things, and praise God for them, the blessings. I'm not saying I want bad things in my life, but listen, don't let it stop there, because it's just a picture of the greater. Even the food that we eat. You know why we pray and we thank God? Because it's a recognition that we have the greatest sustenance in the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the bread of life, who's the fountain of living water. And all of that is meant to point us to the greater. And we're going around, and sometimes we complain and we murmur and we just underappreciate the greater. And here we have in verse 21, we didn't read it, but you can read it later. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. you know, that wrought, that making in God. See, all good things in life, they're all signposts. They're not destinations. They all point to Jesus, the light of the world. But you understand, not everyone comes to the light. And here's why. Some prefer the shadows. Why? Because light exposes the heart. We have this unspeakable gift in Christ. And the danger of good things is this, that they can make us comfortable enough to avoid the light, the greater. You know, and that's why some people stop short. They love the good things in their lives, but they'll never seek the greater. Why? Because they'd rather just the good things. You know, they'd rather the good life. They love the good life that they have here. They'd never want to give that up, but they miss the point. And that's the danger of good things, is that they can make us comfortable enough to avoid the light. And by the way, it's the same for us as Christians. We can enjoy the good things and never seek the light of Christ. We never seek the joy it is to be with Him, and success and comfort and stability. They can all lull us into thinking we don't need God. What a falsehood. What a deceit. And the true purpose of good things is to draw us toward Him, not away from Him. And so when good things come, we're meant to recognize the greater. And so here's how we ought to respond to that. We ought to give thanks. We ought to thank God. We ought to thank Him. That's why we ought to pray before the meal. Not in a perfunctory way where we're just going through the motions. No, we're genuine. You know, that's such a token thing sometimes. We just pray and we just say the words, but do we really feel it in our heart? Do we pray for the day when we get up and we have breath in our lungs again? And do we pray and thank God? It's a good thing. But it's pointing to the greater. But when we go, when things get taken away, then we miss it. And then we dare to blame God. Why don't we blame God for the good things? In a good way, right? And when we need to give Him glory, because the goal was never that. The greatest good is God Himself. Psalm 16:5, the Lord is a portion of mine inheritance and my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The Lord is my portion. And I hope that He's your portion. You see, Nicodemus, he started in the dark. But thankfully, he ended up in the light. That ache in his heart, when he acknowledged that good wasn't enough, it led to the new birth. And later on in chapter 19, we see that at the burying of Jesus, Nicodemus is involved. And something happened in Nicodemus' life. He went from knowing the good to knowing the greatest. And church, listen, if you're saved, maybe you've been saved a while. You can get so spoilt with the good things of God. We stop short. When we have Him, the portion of our soul, and we can have Him greater each day. So church, listen, don't have a good day. Have a great day.